getting there. We are. We're getting there. My time of fasting and seeking the Lord over these last few weeks, one of my major prayers was, Lord, show us, guide us, lead us, that we can make the difference in our community that we want to make, that we just won't be another group of people, but that we'll truly be able to make a difference. We'll be a different church. We don't want to be a copy of anything. We just want to be what you want us to be. And I believe that we are. I believe we're a little different. And it just seems to continuously be different. To you, what is praise and worship for? What should praise and worship do as we come together in the corporate body? What should be its purpose? Anybody want to comment? Clear your mind and your heart. Okay. Anything else? Magnify God above his enemies. Good answers, good responses. Kevin? What? Get us just focused. Somebody else said something? Lily, that's you. Okay, I was looking over you. Glorify the Father in heaven. Oh, those are really good. Those are real good responses. They are to bring us to the place of God's presence. And all those, I think, that you responded would do that. After we have come in through praise, there's different kinds of praise, as we've talked about before. There's warfare praise, where you enter into warfare in the heavenlies. There's praise for his goodness and his greatness. There's praise that exalts just the name of the Lord. There's different kinds of praise. Praise is usually shown in the Bible as exuberance. There's body movement. There's a lot of movement incorporated with praise, dancing, clapping, shouting. When you study the praise in the Scripture, when you study worship in the Scripture, there's a kneeling aspect, an attitude of kneeling before the Lord, which brings us into a presence of the Lord. So at the time of our praise and our worship, what should happen as we come to the climax of the praise and the worship should be a time then when the presence of the Lord is here. And we have come to that point into the service where now He can step forth on our praises in the worship and come forth and minister to his people. So the purpose of praise and worship is to bind the enemies. It talks about binding the enemies with your praise, breaking the chains on those that have chains on them, releasing them. It talks about praise as being that exuberant, but then worship brings us to the place where God can step out and begin to minister to his people. So that's what we should experience at the time of praise, individually and corporately. As the body corporately comes together in praise and worship, then we should be able to expect miracles. We should be able to expect the great things of God to manifest itself in our midst. Amen? That's what we should be looking for. And that's where our praise should take us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. In the 70s and mid-80s, up to the mid-80s, there was a movement in the church that was basically came to be known as the faith movement. Great men of God like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Norval Hayes, Charles Capps. Right, that's what I was trying to remember today. Charles Capps. Roger mentioned Oral Roberts, but there was a great teaching about faith that came forth in the 70s and up into the mid 80s, and there was a real emphasis here, and I came to the Lord Jesus Christ in lordship. I came to him as a teenager for salvation, but I came to him in the late 70s as lordship. There's a difference when you don't confess him as your Savior. What do you confess him as? Your Lord. It says if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, not Savior. And it was in the 70s that I confessed him as Lord, and he began to take rule in my life. It's like, if you can picture it, it's like a land that he wants to conquer, and he has to come in, and he has to begin to conquer the things, and so that he can plunder the kingdom of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so that's kind of what happens, and that happened to me in the late 70s. A lot of people confess him as Savior. That's not correct. You need to confess him as Lord. As I confessed him that in the late 70s, I was a very hungry Christian. I wanted the things of God, and I was like a sponge, and I wanted to hear everything and grasp everything. And I had to ask the Lord to really help me and protect me, that I wouldn't get false teaching. So I began to listen to these men of God that I have just mentioned. And I began very intent and got very intent in the faith movement or the faith teachings. Got very into this and learned how to trust God and believe God for anything. I believed Him for a house. I believed Him for I could believe Him for anything. I didn't have to take aspirins or anything, and my wife would get upset with me because she'd hide the aspirins in the cabinet, thinking that I would get down on her because she didn't have my faith. And and that's kind of the condemnation that you put on people. And so anyway, the thing is that what I'm trying to say is I got very intent to faith, and I had a Sunday school class, and I taught faith, 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 faith. There's nothing but faith, faith, faith. And I was the faith teacher. I believed God even for our church to get a dish, and we got a dish. I wanted a dish at our church so we could get all these things that was coming in from the satellite on the faith teachings. And it was a real move of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Did you experience this? And if you didn't experience it, then you missed a move of God. You missed a time of a renewal of justification by faith. Not the move of justification by faith, but the renewal of the justification by faith. It became a real renewal in faith. Well, then the Lord took me into another realm of understanding, which I began to see, which is called the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I left the faith mentality, or I left the faith teaching aspects, and I went into the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which was a to me a more mature message. It was a message that I saw the maturity of Christ coming forth. And so I stopped teaching faith for a long time, and I don't guess I've talked much about faith in the past 7 years or so that I've been here in Lafayette. But tonight I wanted to share about faith, and I want to talk about faith. And if I had to title the message that would be I want to share with you tonight, it would be faith, receiving, releasing, and fighting. Four things that I just want to try to share, and I'm not going to get them all tonight, but we'll just get a couple of them, and we'll see where we're at, and then we'll quit. But the thing I want to talk about is faith. What is it? Try to give you an idea of what faith is. Number two, how do you receive it? Number three, how do you release it? And then how do you fight the good fight of faith? You say you're going to have to fight it. You're going to have to receive faith. You'll see the importance of faith here in just a few seconds. Then you're going to wonder, well, how do I get it? I'm going to try to answer that for you. Well, then once you get it, you're going to need to release it. And then once you release it, how do you keep it from getting to a point where you doubt it? The enemy of faith. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says what? Talks about going from faith to faith, right? How the righteous goes from faith to faith, where it is written that the just shall live by faith. How does God want us to live? By faith. Understand that. The way God desires for us to live is by faith. Now let me say what I want to say here and move on. The just shall live. This is not a one-time experience. Faith doesn't come just once. God just doesn't give you the measure of faith and that's it. Faith is a lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. Hear that. You got to understand. The way that you and I are to live in God is by faith. It is the way the just people live. It is the way the righteous people live in God. It is by faith. It is a lifestyle. It's not something we do once. It's a lifestyle that we continue on in. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And if you want to, you can stop by Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 38, which also says that the just shall live by faith. But there's a little bit more there. In this particular passage, it's speaking about Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at it. 10:38. Hebrews 10 and 38. And what I want to do is just concentrate on some faith scriptures that have ministered to me and kept me on track, where I would know that if the person that I was listening to or around was a faith person, would actually understood a little bit about faith. Anyway, these verses have really imparted into me, and I want to share these quickly tonight. This is a scripture especially speaking of Jesus Christ, but But you have to understand that all of God's people, His just ones, His righteous ones, live by faith. Verse 38 of Hebrews 10 says this, "But my righteous one shall live by what? Faith. And if he shrinketh back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Now understand, it's not that God is going to draw back from us necessarily if we will not live by faith. But if we will live by faith, there's the promise. The thing is opposite, that he will come to us. There is a soul, the soul of God, the mind of God, the thinking of God will draw to us if we will just live by faith. If we will not live by faith, whatever faith is, then the Bible assures us that he shrinks back from us. That he is not as close to us as he could be were we living by faith. Faith then is something that we've got to live by. It's a lifestyle. Faith is something then, if we will learn about it, appropriate it into our life, then faith becomes something that draws God close to us. And now in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For me to be pleasing to God, then I must have what? Faith. How important is faith? Is it very important? Is it an important aspect in the Scriptures? The just live by faith. If I don't have faith, God shrinks back from me. To be pleasing to God, I must have faith, because I must first believe that He is God. I must know that, first of all, God is, and that He is God, and it's faith that lets me know that He is God. And then nextly of all, the Bible assures me there that if I have faith, then I can be assured that He not only is God, but He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is that right? So if I have faith, then I can have assurance that when I'm seeking God, I'll find Him. There's something about faith that lets me seek God and find God, and that He will reward me. And there's something about faith that assures me that God is. There's something about faith that is pleasing to God and that I'm pleasing to God. There's something about faith that must be in my life, a lifestyle, so that as I walk in faith. And there's something about faith that draws God to me. Faith is important, isn't it? So we need an understanding of faith. What is faith? What is faith? How does faith come? Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and 17. What I'm trying to do, first of all, is show us that it is important to have an understanding of faith. And we all have some understanding. We would all have some understanding of what faith is. What I want to do is give you my understanding of it and how it works in my life, how over these years I have studied and looked and been taught, and now where I'm at with faith and understanding of faith and being pleasing to God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, what does this mean? Well, first of all, faith is not something I generate. Faith is not something that I motor up. There was one of the things during this time of faith teaching in the 70s and 80s. It kind of got you to the point where you felt like you had to pump up your faith, build it up. You had to crank it up, man. You had to say it enough and do it enough, and finally it got to be faith. Well, faith cometh. Is that what your Bible says? Faith is not something I create. Faith cometh by hearing. Is that right? And hearing by the word of God. Now, it's so important to hear what I'm going to say. The word there is the Greek word rhema. There are two Greek words in the Greek that mean, that is translated word. One is logos, one is rhema. Now, all you old faith students, you know this. You know this is one of the primary things about faith. You've got to understand the difference of this word, rhema and logos. Now, logos is used like 300 times in the New Testament. And when logos is used, It is used to show the mind of God. It is used, it is the written word of God that you have there. It is an expression of the mind of God. It is the written mind of God, is my best definition to give you what logos is. Faith does not come by logos. Faith comes by rhema. Logos, best example I can maybe give you is in John chapter 1 and verse 1. Write that down if you'd like. And I'll just quote it to you. It says that in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who is it speaking of here? Who is this verse speaking of? And then verse 13 down there, it says, and the Word became flesh. So who is this speaking of? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is never shown in the Scriptures to be rhema. Jesus Christ is always shown to be logos, the expression of the mind of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. I don't do anything except I hear from the Father. I don't say anything except I've heard it from the Father. He was an expression of the logos or the mind of God. He came as the logos. And the logos became flesh. The mind of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the logos. It's an expression of the mind of God. Nowhere ever in the Scriptures does it ever say that Jesus is the rhema. It never relates the rhema to Jesus. So how does faith come? Faith comes by rhema. Rhema is used like 70 times in the New Testament. And it's always associated with the utterance of God. Something said. It's the voice or the utterance of God. First time it's used, and we'll look at this one, because you need to see this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. Jesus is here being tempted of the devil. And this is the first temptation. This is the first time when Satan comes, when the devil comes to Jesus, tells him to make these stones into bread. And Jesus replies, and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is rhema, that which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, let's hook up a couple of scriptures here. The first one that we read was in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and it says, the just shall live, and I want to emphasize live, the just shall live by faith. And then right here in Matthew 4:4, it says, we shall not live by bread alone, but we shall live, implied, by what? Every word, every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. The just shall live by faith. We shall live by the rhema of God. Do you see the connection that I'm trying to make here? To have the life of faith, the lifestyle, the just shall live by faith, we must also then have the rhema, the word of God that is spoken to us. So the difference is the logos is the written word, and just because it's written right here, if you read that word, or if you get you a good tape teaching, or if you get you a good book on faith, or if you get one of my messages, or whatever that you want to do, or somebody prophesies over you the word of God, that does not necessarily become rhema. Just because it's right there, it's the expressed mind of God, it is true, it is equally important in your life, but it does not become rhema until it becomes live in you, because the just shall live by faith. It has to become live in our hearts. The sower went forth to sow the seed. If I had a package of seed here, package of seed, that's the word of God. The sower went forth to sow the seed. It's here, it's seed. That's the seed in your lap. The soil, but if it don't ever leave this package and get into good soil, will it do anything? It's just soil, just seed, right? But once it goes out and it goes into the place that it needs to go, which is the heart, which is the place of the holding of the seed in our lives, if that goes into our heart, into the seed bed of our life, then it can produce something. And it's alive then. Am I right? Unless the seed dieth and then goes into the ground, there's no life in it. Am I right? So what we got to understand, the rhema of God is when it becomes alive to you. Now, over our past years here, we have had multitudes of people to come to us and tell us that God said to them. Now, we knew that this was not true. We wouldn't be as the serpent and say, "Hath God said?" But we knew that it wasn't God. We just knew, because what the rhema they said that they were getting was not lining up with the Logos, and God will never contradict the two. He just won't do that. Had one guy come and tell us that God had told us to marry his wife, and she was an unbeliever when he told her this, and she was still an unbeliever. And they were beating one another with telephones, and they were really having a bad time of their marriage. And one day we were counseling. I was counseling with the guy. And I said, "Why did you marry her?" He said, "Well, God told me to." I said, "Was she a believer?" He said, "No." Now, does that sound like God? Does God say, "Do not be unequally yoked"? So I knew that God had not told him to marry this woman. God told me. Had another guy. I can't. That's too recent. I'll leave that one alone. Anyway, people come and tell us a lot of things that they say God said that I know God didn't say, because it contradicts one another. And the Word of God just does not contradict one another. The rhema is God's mind being made real, live, in my life. And that is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. What I have got to hear is the rhema of God. It has got to become rhema, alive to me. It's got to get into my heart, and it's got to become productive. It's got to become a lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. Right? It's a part of my life. It's a part of what I do. It's a part of the way I think. That becomes faith. You can believe that. There's no trouble in believing that. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. What is the key in that verse? What is the key thought in that verse, Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is the faith? What is the primary? What is the key thought there? The key word. Hearing. Hearing. Hearing is essential. Okay, faith. Faith is the rhema of God becoming alive in your heart. What is the receiving of faith? How do we receive it? You got to understand that faith comes by hearing. The way we receive faith is not by pumping it up and generating it up in our lives. There was that teaching in the 70s and the 80s. Man, you got to pump it up. You got to quote it. You got to say it. You got to believe it. You got to hang it on your refrigerator. Oh, that's all well and good if it will really somehow do it. But really, it comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Isn't that very simple? It's amazing how simple the Word of God is sometimes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So hearing now becomes the essential thing to receive faith. To get the Word of God alive in my life, to get the mind of God created in my life, I've got to hear it. Hearing becomes essential. Hearing becomes critical. Hearing becomes crucial. I have got to develop a circumcised ear. Jesus said it over and over and over again. Let the ear hear what the Spirit says. Or he that hath an ear, let him hear. Hearing is essential in getting faith. Now, I want to talk to you just a second about hearing. I want to tell you that there are so many scriptures in the Bible about admonishing us about hearing. And I'm going to read you so many that you're going to say, "I wish you would hurry up and get through reading those scriptures about hearing." But I want to make the point that hearing is the key to receiving faith. That Bible that is laying in your lap or on the chair beside you or on your mantle at home, wherever it is full of faith, but it's just logos until you can hear it. Faith comes by hearing scriptures, full of an admonishment of hearing scriptures. Matthew 10:14. And whosoever, don't be turning, just listen to me, because there's too many. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city. Shake off the dust of your feet. Now this is where Jesus sent forth his disciples, and he told them, if they won't hear you, knock the dust off your feet and go on. I'm going to judge them because they wouldn't hear you. You have to understand that when a man of God comes in this pulpit or any pulpit, you need to hear him. Am I right? You need to have a hearing ear. The judgments that we receive are often because we did not hear the Lord. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Over and over Jesus said this. In Matthew 13:9 and then again in verse 43. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then in 13:16 he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hearing has something to do with understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ. We'll never understand the teachings of Jesus Christ if we don't have an ear to hear. Faith comes by Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Hearing has got something to do with receiving the seed into my heart. That's what he's talking about, the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow the seed. Hear it, he says. You've got to be able to hear it. And then when anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God, that's what's going to be sown in your heart, is the word of the kingdom of God. It's got to do with understanding and receiving seed in my heart and understanding the kingdom of God message. Matthew 15:10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Do we have to hear to be able to understand? Hear. Got something to do with understanding. Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Matthew 20:30. And behold, two blind men were sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. How many of you really believe that hearing God has got something to do with getting your miracle? They heard Jesus passing by. And if our ears are all plugged up, our ears are hard, we can't hear anything, we're going to miss our miracle. We've got to be able to hear when Jesus passes by. Mark 5:27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now you know who this is. This is the woman who had the issue of blood. And when she heard of him, she went, she pressed, she touched his garment, she got her healing. A lot of people don't get healed because they can't hear. And I'm not talking about hearing with the natural ear. I'm talking about hearing with the ear Jesus talks about. The ear of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Mark 7:14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken, hear, listen to me, every one of you, and understand. Mark 7:25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. A lot of people never get beyond an oppression. A lot of people are live their life with some kind of oppression or possession in their life because they never hear the things of God. They can't hear the things of God. Mark 12:37. And the common people heard him gladly. How'd they hear him? Gladly. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we came to the church to hear the word of God, it was with gladness? I'm going to maybe talk about this in a little bit. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or hearing of faith. Do you see that receiving of the Holy Ghost in our life has got something to do with hearing? Receiving and being filled with the Holy Ghost in our life, we've got to be able to hear. Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? To work miracles, to minister to people, to minister the Spirit to people, to minister miracles, to minister the gifts of the Spirit to people, we have got to be able to hear. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore ye ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. Do you know that a lot of times the things that we don't hear, or because of the things that we have heard can slip away from us because we're not hearing the new things? I'm going to talk about that one in just a second. You can lose what you've already gotten if you won't hear. Not because you're not doing it, but because you're not hearing.
I'll talk about that in just a second. Hebrews 3:15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Continuing to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear God, to hear teachings, to hear it continuously like that, will keep our hearts from getting hardened. Hebrews 5:11. Of whom you have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Can we get dull of hearing? James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Do we have that one backwards? How many of us it's easier to get mad first, and then talk, and then try to hear the Spirit? That's right, isn't it? One of us was very honest. Well, we've got to understand, if we'll but hear the Spirit, if we'll get a hearing ear, an ear to hear, and hear right, then we'll be slow to speak and slower to get angry. All because we won't hear. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be... Well, I just did that one. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard. Now, over and over in Revelations, you know, Jesus, over and over in the glorified Christ, as He's talking to the churches, He says, let the ear hear what the Spirit has to say. Such as in Revelation 2:7, He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, in Revelation 3:20, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, He says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. And then over and over and over and over and over and over in the book of Revelation, John talks about 35 times. I counted them. 35 times John says, and I heard. And I heard. There is a premium on hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and the admonishments is astounding, and this is just out of, this is a few of them. The scriptures are astounding on the admonishments that it gives us in the scriptures to be able to hear, because the just shall live by faith, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. So it becomes very, very necessary to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. I want us to look at a couple of scriptures now in Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. I shared these with the Monday night prayers that were here. And I want to share it real rapidly with us. You've got to understand the importance of what you hear. If faith is so important in pleasing God, if faith is so important to keep Him drawn close to me, if faith is so important on receiving the blessings of God, if faith is so important in believing that He is, if the just shall live by faith, if I'm going to have a lifestyle of faith, I have got to understand it is very important on what I hear. Here in the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 24, and He was saying to them, take care what you hear or what you listen to. King James Bible says hear. Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. What is what we have, what we get, and what is taken away from us dependent upon? That's right. Not what we do, but how we hear. Hearing is crucial. He says, you take heed, you beware what you hear. Because if you keep hearing good things from God, if you keep hearing faith, what are you going to get more of? Isn't that neat? And so we wonder how some Christians just keep on growing and have good, happy lives. Man, they live overcoming lives. They're just bouncing around all the time, all happy and joyful. And they come to church and they got good hearing ears, man. They're always listening. They're always changing. They're always appropriating those things. It becomes rhema in their lives. Their lives are changing. They're appropriating the principles of God in their life. And we look at other Christians and they live messed up lives. They're all messed up. Their marriages are messed up. Their children are messed up. Their finances are messed up. What do you think the difference is? Somebody's hearing and somebody's not. Be careful what you hear. Let me tell you. If you're listening to garbage, what are you going to get more of? There's a family in this church that doesn't go here anymore. They couldn't wait till somebody left their house so they could call me and tell me how this person that was just there came over and dumped their garbage on them. Okay, I got 5 bags of garbage in my backyard. 5 bags of garbage. It smells, it's got flies. The cans are green. Maggots are in those cans. So what do I do? Do I open up this garbage and dump it all over the back of my yard? Do I do that and defile my yard? Do I do that? Would you do that? Everybody comes over to your house. Man, what's wrong with your backyard? Woo! It stinks. That's bad. You're not going to do that. You're not going to defile your yard. So what you do is you load it all up on a truck because you say, I know where I can take it and dump it. And so you load it up and you take it to the place where you can dump trash and you defile that place. Am I right? Yeah, that's right. And so what this house had become was a dumping ground. These people that I'm telling you about, they became a dumping ground, and people after people after people, and they come to me and they would say, Pastor, I don't understand why all these people are coming here and dumping. The reason was they could. They became a dumping ground. And they got defiled. Let me tell you, they are defiled. Be careful what you hear. If you keep getting garbage and you want to hear garbage, guess what? That's what you're going to get. You're going to get more and more garbage. It's going to be dumped on you. And you're going to be defiled. And you're going to stink. And your marriage is going to stink because that's what you're listening to. And your family is going to stink because that's what you're listening to. And your finances are going to stink because that's what you're listening to. Is that what the Word says? If you're hearing it, you're going to get more of it. So what do? I don't want to hear it. You ain't dumping it on me. See, the sad thing is that ministry, I have to hear it, and I'm supposed to be able to hear it because God knows that I can go and wash. There's a labor. I understand these principles. I go to the Word of God. I let the Word of God wash me. I go and I clean myself up. I pray and I seek God, and I can take it. I can handle it. And I've been hearing stuff for years, and it really hasn't affected me. In fact, I forget much of what I hear. But these people couldn't do this because they were not in that place. And they got defiled. And if that's what you want to hear, you're going to get defiled. Understand that principle. And you can't hear God with all this garbage going on. All you're hearing is junk. You're not hearing the voice of God. Luke 8. Be careful what you hear. Now look at Luke 8. Verse 18. Tell you what, I'll start at 8:16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that you're a light, your life should be lit, and what you should do is you should raise yourself up. Don't hide yourself. And it's raising the light up so that the higher you get it, the more light that it gives out. Raise it up so you can see it. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care. What does it say? How you hear. Not what now. We did what just a second ago. Now we're doing how. Take care how you hear. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whatever does not have, even that which he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. What's the emphasis here? In the other verse, the emphasis was on take care of what you hear. Here the emphasis is on take care of how you hear. When you come to church, how do you hear? What is your attitude? Do you come ready to hear the Word of God? Have you spent time in prayer and seeking the Lord on the day before the coming to church? Have you spent some time in prayer and praise? Are you coming to church with a good attitude? Or are you coming to church angry at your spouse, angry at your kids, angry at your boss, angry at people that you work with? How are you coming to church? What is the attitude that you have come? Because if you don't come with the right attitude, what you've already gotten is going to be taken from you. How important is it to hear right? What God did for you last year was last year, folks. And you'll lose it if you don't come with the right attitude today. Take care what you hear. Don't let people dump on you. Because that's all you're going to start getting is dumped on. Take care, number two, how you hear. Prepare your heart. Come to church ready to receive the Word of God, ready to hear it, ready to have it go into your heart and say, God, here is my heart. Take the sower and sow the seed and let it come alive in me. Let that Logos become Rhema in me so that my faith can develop, so that I can be pleasing to you, so that my lifestyle can walk with you, so that I can receive your blessings, so that I'll know that you're God. Here I am, Lord. I've prayed. I've sought you. I'm ready. How do we do this when we come to church? We don't stand here with our hands in our pockets. We should come and ready to praise God. Judah shall go forth first. Is that right? Does Hosea say that? Judah goes first. What does that mean? Praise goes first and it plows. That's what Hosea says. Judah goes first and plows. We got to prepare our heart with praise and worship. You can't work all day on Saturday hard all night long on Saturday mowing your grass and expect to come here and get the Rhema of God sown into your heart. It won't work. You got to be somewhat rested. That's why it's the Sabbath day. One day we're going to hear it. That's why it's called the Sabbath day. Take some time. Rest. Be ready to come into the house of God and receive the Word of God. Be ready to come. Be ready to minister to people. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in praise. Spend some time. Let God minister to you. Oh, we have a bad week. I'm arguing with this one. I'm arguing. I had a bad week. My boss about fired me. Well, we're all going to go through those times. But that's what praise, one thing praise does, is when we come into the house of God, praise breaks the chains that bind us. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Plow it up. You'll find in your heart four kinds of soil. In every heart, these four kinds are there. Pathway soil, stony soil, soil that has the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, weeds, and then good soil. And when we come to the house of God, we've got to plow. We've got to dig it. And you go out and you sow that seed into your garden, folks, and if you don't take time in your garden and make sure that the weeds are pulled and that the water goes and the fertilizer, you've got to. Just because it gets into your heart one time does not mean you forget about it. It has to be cared for. A marriage has to be cared for. You don't have children to forget about them, do you? Do you have to care for them? Do you have to do some things for them? Do you have to take the weeds out of their life? Make sure that they're not walked on and gotten hard and the rocks in their life and so forth have to be gotten out and they have to be read and sowed good seed into their lives? They have to be prepared. You just don't forget about them. You care about them. And so when the Word of God goes forth and it comes into our life and into our heart, we've got to take care of it. Pull the weeds. Make it grow. Make it pretty. The devil is going to fight you. Now, I'm quitting. We'll finish this up the other time. I've talked about what faith is. I've talked about receiving faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's the only way faith comes. That comes by hearing. You got this. The Logos has got to become Rhema. The mind of God has got to become a lifestyle to you. When that happens, that's Rhema. Now, the third thing you got to know, I'm just going to say, and then we'll talk about them next time or whenever we do. The third thing, the next thing you got to understand is that after faith, you understand what faith is, it is pleasing to God and all those good things, then faith comes by hearing. The next thing that you've got to understand is how you release it. Release it. Faith does nothing except it's released. Judy wants a new dress. She's praying for a new dress. Just a real quick illustration. Wants a new dress. Would you like to have a new dress? You got faith for a new dress? Okay, you don't have any money, so you pray. Pray, God, give me, I want faith for a new dress. All right, faith comes. Okay? I will get that back. Faith comes. Now, you got the faith. You got it now. Okay, faith comes. Now, what do you do now? You got to release that faith? Have you got the dress yet? You got to release the faith, right? You've got to give that money. You've got to release that faith. That's just as simple as it can be. Faith, our problem isn't always getting faith. Our problem isn't always hearing God. A lot of times our problem is releasing the faith or the thing of God that we've heard. Am I right? We can hear God pretty easily. He's like a radio station, man. He's always putting out. You got an ear to hear. You can hear Him. But then you got to do something with that. In the Bible, it's called believing. Releasing faith in the Bible is called believing. We'll talk about that some other time. Then you got to understand, fourthly, you're going to battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Understand that when you hear from God, the devil is never going to call God a liar. But what he will do is say, hath God said? He's coming back. I've been to two seminars at two different places, and I've heard the Lord tell me this two times. I say I heard the Lord. I haven't done it yet, but I know it's him because I can't get it out of my mind. I can't. It's there. So that's the one way you know if it's really God, because it won't leave you. It's just there. Coming back this last time from a CI conference, we had one of the better conferences that we'd ever been to. Felt like the Lord had really spoken to us some things. This is the second time the Lord had spoken this to me. Coming back, coming down, remember the place, it was coming down 136, off of the interstate, coming down, heading to Villanelle. We were about a mile from the Walker County line. And this thing that I think I heard God say to me, I heard my flesh say, and the enemy say, hath God said? Did God really say that? Now you know. Now you've already had a couple of families leave. Now, if you do this, you're going to make some other ones angry. You can't afford to lose anymore. Hey, are you sure God said this to you? How many knows what I'm talking about here? There's a battle. Faith has an enemy. His enemy's name is doubt. Doubt comes. Here's what the Lord told me to do. I said the Lord told me to do it. This is what I felt to do. Is build me a platform on this level step, all the way to that wall, and from this step over to here. And what this will do is this will bring the praise team down here, maybe on either side of Pastor Tebow, but it'll get them closer down to here. But the thing that the Lord spoke to me about was to get me a seat and set over here. Now, see, some of you won't like this, but I need to set over here. Why do you need to set up there? Are you something special? No. That's what the devil says to you. You know, that's what some of you say to me. But I want to see what's going on. I want to see what God is doing in the service. I want to see those that are so excited about God and so turned on in their praise and their worship and have allowed Judah to plow and is ready to go forth and have a song of the Lord or has something, some excitement that they can birth forth into this body. I want to be able to see them so that I can bring them up here, that we can draw from that encouragement, that we can draw from that strength that they have. I want to be able to see. And then there also I want to be able to see those that are so downcast, so beaten down that they can't lift their hands, that they can't get into praise and worship, that we can get them up here and lay hands on them and minister to them. I can't see you out of the back of my head. I don't know sometimes what's going on, but I want to be able to see you. And take courage. Yeah, I guess that's right. So, hath God said? Those are things of faith that I want to share with you. The things that God has taught me over the years and things that I think that I have in me. And I think that's why I stopped teaching about faith was simply because I think I burned out on it some. And I had a new word. I had an exciting gospel of the kingdom of God, maturity word. And also I think, you know, that the other thing is that these things were just in me. That I didn't... You're sharing, you're teaching what you're hearing. And so, you know, I'm going to share with you basically what I'm hearing. But I was just hearing some things, and I just wanted to share these things. Did you enjoy this tonight? I want you to stand. Let's pray together. I want you to repeat after me, and let's just activate. The way you activate faith is with your mouth. The way you release it is in prayer. The way you release it, Jesus says, when you stand praying, say. In Luke, in Mark 11, 20, 21, right in there where Jesus is really talking about faith in the fig tree, he says, whatsoever things that you say believing when you pray. So there's a releasing. Understand that by your words you are justified. By your words you're condemned. The power of life and death are in the tongue. There's a tremendous power released in our words. And so I want to activate now what we've heard tonight and understand some things. And I just want you to repeat after me. Father God in heaven, I want to live by faith.